star. I believe we're living in the days like we know built the arm. I believe the story of Moses, how God parted the Red Sea. Well, but most of all, I believe Jesus died for me. I believe Joshua led God's children to the promised land. How many believe that? I believe David killed a lion with a little sling in his hand. I believe when Daniel was in the lion's den, the lions calmed the sacred beast. Well, but most of all, I believe Jesus died for me, the greatest miracle. I believe if I had been the only one, still the Father would send his only son. I know he came to set the whole world free. Oh, but most of all, I believe Jesus died for me. Oh, I'm so glad he did. I believe a man will reap just what he sowed. I believe the heavenly path, it's a narrow road. I believe he took the sins of all mankind and nailed them to the rugged tree. Well, but most of all, I believe Jesus died for me. Sing it with me. I believe. I believe Jesus died for me. I believe Jesus died for me. Thank you, Lord.
Bibles want to turn with us this evening over in Ephesians in the first chapter. We're living in the last days, the last of the last days. Amen. I'm telling you. Sister Connie said, you've been preaching it for 20 years. I said, yeah, but I didn't think it'd happen all that quick. This thing's coming down. We're getting ready to go home. Amen. Hallelujah. Ephesians in the first chapter, verse number 1. He said, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus, grace be to you and peace from God our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Verse 4. According as he hath what? Chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy, and without blame before him in love. Let us pray. Father, we thank you this evening for who you are. Thank you for the love, God, that you have proven in our lives. And God, I pray, Father, that somehow we'll prove back to you the love we have for you. We love you, praise you. Lord, help us to receive this evening what you have laid upon our hearts, God. Father, for this service, for your glory, in Jesus' name, amen. Sister Renee, to answer your question why that when I was a little boy, a lot of times we didn't get home till 1 o'clock. They was too drunk to drive. They had to wait till they sobered up. Amen? How many of you have ever been drunk in the spirit? Don't just hold your hands up and say, I'll hold up because everybody else. How many has been drunk in the spirit before? Amen. Not drunk on the spirit, drunk in the spirit. Amen. It's a good feeling. I bet it's a drunk getting hard to walk. Amen. But I want to ask you a question. Why did God save you? Why did God save you? There's all kind of comments coming in. A lot of times people say, why'd God save you? And they'd say, because he didn't want me to go to hell. Nope, that ain't it. You know why God saved us? It's because he wanted to. Because of his own goodwill, his own pleasure. Amen. If I had a piece of pie or a regular whole pie up here and I took the pie and I cut Sarah off a little bitty slice, give it to her, and Brother Mike a little bitty slice, give it to him, and Sister Nina a little bitty slice and give her a little piece, and Sister Raymond a little bitty slice and gave it to her. And then I was left with this whole big part. I said, and that's y'all's and this is mine. Amen. You say, well, that's unfair. Well, that's what God is. Listen, it's about his will and what he wants to do. Thank you very much. My zipper's zipped down. I'll zip it up. All right. All right. Hey, that's not as bad as a preacher one time. Listen, there's a preacher at one of my dad's church. Listen, and he was kind of large. And it says he was up there preaching and he jumped a couple of times. And when he did, his britches went all the way to his ankles. You know what he did? He reached down and he pulled them up and he said, let's stand and be dismissed. Guess what? We ain't going to be dismissed. Listen. Hey, listen. What's wrong with y'all? Y'all embarrassed? I ain't embarrassed. But God, listen, God does what he wants to because of his will. He saved us because of his purpose. What he wanted. Amen. What he wants. It's not about my will and your will and what I want and what you want. It's about if it don't fit in God's plan, my friend, it's not going to happen. Because it's all about his will. Amen. He said he chose us according to his will and what he has purposed. Amen. It said in verse 5, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself according to the good pleasure of his will. Amen. You see, the quicker we understand that it's about His will and not about my will. See, the churches today, we got it that, hey, God's going to please us. And God, we snap our fingers and God runs to our rescue and God blesses us. And He does all that. But it's not because of who we are. It's about His purpose and His will. Amen. That's what it's all about. Amen. Verse number 6, it says, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. Amen. Wherein He hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of His will, the mystery of His will, according to His good pleasure, which He purposed in Himself. He saved us because that's what He wanted to do. Not because we needed to be saved or we wanted to be saved, but because He wanted us to be saved. Amen. He has a purpose for us. It's all in His plan. Amen. And that's what it's all about. Amen. Listen, verse 9 again. Having made known unto us the mystery of His will, according to His good pleasure, which He hath purposed in Himself. Amen. Do y'all see that? Look. Did y'all see that just come by here? Real fast. Did y'all see it? It was a race car. Zoom. Did y'all see it go through here? Well, look out. There's a football player running across there. Did y'all see him? Did y'all see? Well, look at that cowboy ride that horse down through there. Did y'all see it? Did y'all see it? Don't lie now. Did y'all see it? I hear music. Y'all hear music? Y'all hear music? Well, look at that. There's old John Hagee. Look at him going through there. Did y'all don't see that? Y'all didn't see that? You know why you didn't see that? Because you need an antenna. And you need a receiver. Amen. If we had an antenna, it's coming all through here. Come on. It's flying all through the air. Amen. They're racing cars and they're playing football. They got cowboys on and John Hagee. Amen. They got songs on radio stations. It's all in the air. We just don't have an antenna and we don't have a receiver. Amen. It's all in the air. If we could bring an antenna in here and put a television set here, a receiver, and turn it on, we could start seeing it. Amen. But we don't see it because we're not tuned into it. We don't have an antenna. And look at here. He said that having made known unto us the mystery of His will. Well, a lot of people say, well, I don't know what His will is. It's because you don't have an antenna and you don't have a receiver. You're not in tune. How's that? How's that, Brother David? He says over in 1 Corinthians in the 2nd chapter in verse 9, he said, but as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have it entered the heart of man, the things that God hath prepared for them that love Him. See, I ask you, did you see all those things? And you said no. And that's what so many people are about the things of God. Amen. Come on. That we don't believe in the things of God because we don't see them. We don't hear them. Why? Because we don't have an antenna and we don't have a receiver. We're not tuned in. Amen. Listen, that's most of the church world. But I like what it said in verse 10. But God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit. For the Spirit searches the deep things. Amen. Searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. It said in verse 14. But the natural man receiveth not the things of God. For they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. Amen. In other words, the world cannot receive the things of God, even though God wants to give us a revelation. We can't receive it because we're not equipped. Amen. We're so troubled and so about our will and what I want. It's not about me.
I'm telling you, the church yesterday, Sister Renee, you was talking about, it wasn't their will. It was about God's will. It's not about how long I've been sitting here. It's about how long He wants me to be here. Come on. It's about pleasing Him. It's about the kingdom of God. Amen. And until the church gets back to trying to please everybody instead of pleasing Him, we'll not see the great move in the church that God wants. Amen. That's where it's at. That's where it's at. Hallelujah. In fact, flip your Bibles over. I don't have this in here. She don't have this, but go to Isaiah 64. Isaiah 64. Listen to it. This sounds like the church world here. Oh, verse 1. Oh, that thou wouldest rend the heavens, that thou wouldest come down, that the mountains might flow down at thy presence, as when the melting fire burn, and fire causeth the waters to boil, and to make thy name known unto thine adversaries, that the nations may tremble at thy presence. When thou didst terrible things which we look not for, thou camest down, the mountains flowed down at thy presence. For since the beginning of the world, men have not heard nor perceived by ear, neither have I seen, O God, beside thee, what He hath prepared for them that wait for Him. Amen. The church world is stuck back there in Isaiah 64. And they're saying, God, we want you to come down and do something in our midst. God said, I've already come and I've already done. And it's your turn to do. Get up and do something yourself. Hallelujah. Get in tune. Get your spiritual antenna up. Get the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And let the Holy Ghost begin to reveal the things that are not seen by so many. That's what He's talking about. Amen. Back in Ephesians 1, it says, listen, verse number 9, having made known unto us the mystery of His will. You hear a lot of people say, oh, you know, God works in mysterious ways. How many has ever heard somebody say that? No, He don't. Come on. Paul said this thing wasn't done in a corner. It's done out in the open. He don't work mysterious ways. According to His good pleasure, which He hath purposed in Himself. Verse number 11. In whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will. Amen. He's given us an inheritance and He's predestinated us according to His purpose. His purpose, His will. Amen. He said over in Philippians 2 and 13, He said, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. What God wants to do. Amen. It's awesome, isn't it? 2 Thessalonians 1:11, it said, wherefore also we pray always for you, that our God would count you worthy of this calling and fulfill all the good pleasure of His goodness and the work of faith with power, that the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you and ye in Him according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. He said in Luke 12 and 32, He said, fear not, little flock, for it is the Father's good pleasure to give unto you the kingdom. That's His good pleasure. Come on. It's not that He owes us anything, but it's His good pleasure to do it. Amen. He does what His pleasure or what His will would want. 1 Corinthians 12 and 11. It says in the last part, dividing to every man severally as He will. Amen. John 15 and 16, it says, you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. Amen. You didn't wake up one morning and said, I think I'll just get saved. No, no, no. It was by the good pleasure of God that he chose to save us. He didn't have to. He didn't have to save me. See, people in the church world think God owes us something. He don't owe us a thing in the world. He says, you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you. Amen. I am the one that called you. I am the one that called you out. I'm the one that ordained you after my will, not your will. That you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain. That whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he may, what, give it you. Amen. 1 Peter 2 and 9 says, but you're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, amen, a holy. He's talking about the church. You're a chosen. You've been chosen. We didn't choose him. He chose us. Royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that what? We should show forth the praises of him that had called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. His marvelous light. Let me ask you a couple of questions. Why is it on the roads out there that they have these little signs with numbers on them like 55 and 35 and 65. It's got a speed limit up there. Why would they have that? Spit it out. Get your money. That's why they put over it, Brother John, speed limit. Limit your speed to that. Why do they have it there? Let me ask you something. Does it prevent anybody from getting killed? It don't prevent it. It don't stop it. It may cut the numbers down. It might save lives. But it don't make it impossible that you can't get killed on the roads, does it? They have just found out most of the time what it does, it helps to protect the innocent. Amen. Because there's always some of us hardheads. Hello, I ain't gonna go further than that. Amen. It don't keep people from dying, but it may help keep the innocent safer. Amen. But wait a minute, Brother David. We live in the land of free. We live in the land of free and liberty, freedom. We ought to be able to drive any way we want to. Legalism. Huh? Now, if y'all saw me out on the news, and I'll be there talking about the speed limit, and said, we live in America where it's free. We ought to be able to drive any speed we want to. That's legalism. America's supposed to be free. We've got a Statue of Liberty up there in New York. Amen? What y'all think? Y'all think I'd be an idiot? Huh? That's one of those speed demons out there. No, I would never be out there protesting the speed. Amen? I wouldn't be as far as you drive fast you want to, because there'd be some idiots that'd be going down through here 90 miles an hour, 120. Amen? Amen? Well, I ask you this. In the church, we have a thing called teachings. Amen? Teachings. Now, I ask you, will those teachings get you to heaven? Won't do it, will it? No more than those speed limit signs that keep you from getting killed on the highway. But the teachings will help protect the innocent. Was it not? That's why you have government. That's why you have teachings in a church. Amen? It helps to protect the innocent. I said that. We're going to We'll come back to that in just a few minutes. You'll understand. Hebrews in the 4th chapter in verse number 3. For we which have believed do enter into, what's that word? Rest. As he said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest. Although the works were finished from the foundation of the world, for he spake in a certain place on the, which day? Seventh day on this wise, and God did rest the seventh day from all his works. And in this place again, if they shall enter into my rest. Seeing therefore it remaineth that some must enter therein, and they to whom it was first preached entered not in because of unbelief. Again he limited a certain day, saying in David, today, after so long a time, as it is said, today, if ye will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. For if Jesus had given them rest, talking about the Old Testament, then would he not afterward have spoken of another day, talking about today. There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. For he that is entered into his rest, he also hath ceased from his own works or his own will. Come on now. Are y'all getting with me? As God did from his. God rested from his. In other words, he quit his works. Well, when we come to Christ, our will dies. Amen. And his will comes alive when we enter into his rest. Now, if we're not in his rest, if we're still doing our will, we've not entered in his rest. We're doing our thing, amen, and we're doing it the way we want to. It's not about his pleasure or his good will, but it's about what we want. Oh, we're getting to the church of the day now, aren't we? Huh? I guarantee you, that every one of the churches that's made a decision to cut out Sunday school, to cut out Sunday night services, cut out Wednesday night services, I guarantee you they didn't fast and pray about that decision. They just thought of it of their own will. Amen. Verse 11. Let us labor therefore to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. Rest. You know, here he's talking about, what was the seventh day? He said, in the Ten Commandments, what did he say about the Sabbath day? The seventh was the Sabbath. What did he say? Remember the Sabbath and what? Keep it holy. Now, there's been some men that has taken that one scripture and made a denomination and call them a Seventh-day Adventist. In other words, they think on Saturdays when you got to have church. Amen. Because that's the Sabbath. And it is in the Jews' calendar. Saturday is the Sabbath. Amen. Amen. And so they say you're supposed to go to church. And that's their big thing. You get to talking to them. They don't tell you about Jesus Christ. They don't tell you about, all that Jesus paid for. They don't tell you. All they tell you is, when do y'all go to church? That's their big thing. You know what I tell them? I tell them, Jesus is the Lord of the Sabbath. Every day is a Sabbath in him. See, if you enter in that rest, God rested on the Sabbath, did he not? He ceased from his own works, did he not? That's called the Sabbath, when you cease from your own work. And when you're in Christ, every day you cease from your own will and your own ways and your own works, which was leading us to hell. And every day we remember it and we keep it holy. Every day. Every day we live righteously. Every day. Amen. We're pleasing his will. It's about his will. Every day. In fact, in the 6 days when the creation And God looked to every day and everything he made, and he said that it was good, that it was good, that it was good. And he finished it all. He finished it all, did he not? And the seventh day he rested, did he not? Well, I'm telling you, John 19:30, Jesus said, it is finished. Let us rest. It is finished. I have destroyed the sin of your will. He said, enter into my will and walk like I walk, talk like I talk, and live holy every day. That's what he's talking about. Entering into that rest. Now check it out. Galatians in the 5th chapter. In verse 1. Paul said, stand fast therefore in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free. And be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Now you got to understand the church of the Galatians here. Paul had gone to them, introduced them to Christ, brought them into the Christ era. And no sooner he got out of sight, some came in and said, hey, we got to live by the law. And brought them back into the bondage of the law. And that's why Paul said in Galatians 1 and 6, he says, I marvel that you so soon moved from, you know, one that called you to another gospel. Listen. No, it's verse 1, chapter 1, verse 6. I marvel. He said, it blows my mind, man. I marvel that you so soon removed. You blow my mind. Amen. But he's saying here in verse 1 of chapter 5, he says, stand fast in the liberty wherein Christ hath made us free. Now, he's talking about this law thing here. Because in verse 6, he says, it is uncircumcision that profited nothing, and circumcision profiteth you nothing, but faith in Jesus Christ. That's what profits you. Amen. We understand that. Acts 15 and 10, listen to this. Now, therefore, why tempt ye God to put a yoke about the neck of the disciples, which neither our fathers nor we were able to bear? Now, he's talking about here them bringing them back to the law, doing circumcision and all this, because he's talking about that, you know, the Jews were circumcised, these Gentiles need to be circumcised and all this. And he's saying here that our fathers couldn't keep it, neither could we keep the law. Why you want to put all this law on them? Now the church world has come along now, and the day in which we're living, it's all about what I want. We got away from his will now, his pleasure, okay? And it's all about what I want. Amen? Come on, it might be in some of us. Come on, we don't get our way sometimes. We're like a little kid, we throw us a little temper tantrum. Come on. It's not about our will, it's about his will. It's not about what I want. I don't have a choice in the matter. About, are you going to church now? I don't have a choice. I've been called. I've been chosen. Amen. Don't have a choice in the matter. But the church world has come along and they say, y'all got teachings, huh? Well, then, you know what we call that? We call that legalism. Now, in our teachings, we have doctrinal commitments, okay? But then in our teachings, we have some practical commitments. Y'all know the same teachings, you know that. Just practical. It's like speed limit signs. It ain't going to get you to heaven if you kept every one of them. Amen? But it keeps the church safe. Amen. That's what it's all about. Oh, no. That's called legalism. How many has ever heard that term, legalism? That's called legalism. You're trying to put people back under the law. There ain't no such thing. It's just scriptural stuff. He says, they say you brought us into trying to bring people under legalism and we've been made free, and this is freedom and liberty. You ought to ask the same people, said, what do you think about that speed limit sign out there? Oh, well, you know, that's keep people safe. Is that legalism? Sad, isn't it? 1 Peter 2:16, he said, as free and not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God. You know what a servant is? Do you know what a servant is? A servant is someone that has lost their will over to another's will. Amen. That's what a servant is. I'm a servant. I have lost my will and my desires over to God's will and God's desire. It's not what I want. It's about what He wants. Amen. That's what it's all about. Galatians 5:13, it says, for brethren, ye have been called unto liberty, only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. Amen. So often the church world that we're living in today, today's church world, my friend, where'd I hear this? They was describing, man, I can't remember where I heard it. It was kind of some comedy, and it was talking about preachers and different things. And all the time they were saying it, man, I wish I could remember what it was about. But anyhow, my mind went to one big mega church somewhere, and I'm telling you, the guy was talking just like that. I think this was a secular guy talking, but it was pinpointing this guy down that they never name any sin. They never say anything wrong with anything. They would never dare get in the pulpit and say homosexuality is wrong. They would never do that. Why? We just believe in love in everybody. Well, let me tell you, if you love him, you'll tell him that he's got sin in his life and he better repent. Jesus said, do you hate me because I tell you the truth? They kind of just... You know, I run off all my people if I preach hard. So we just preach kind of love and little you know, soothing things. My son said he went to a church in Greenville. He was out of town and he's up in Greenville way, and he went to a big mega church this morning. A mega church. He said it was packed. It was packed, a huge church. He said the guy used one scripture. One scripture. He said, wasn't a thing in the world in all of it. But I guarantee you this, they got some good get down music. I guarantee you go there and they got the best sounding musicians up there, and they got them, you know, guys and gals up there leading that praise, and they probably sing more than they, well, I guess they must sing more than they preach, because one scripture, you know. But go figure. So, Brother David, maybe we need to boot Sister Katina and Brother Steve and Brother Andrew and get somebody up here. Where's Sister Wanda? Knock her out too. Get somebody here and help fill this church out. I said, yeah, but what have you got? What have you got? They ain't going to stay. They might stay and be happy as long as all that's going on. But when Brother Dave gets up here, they're going to stop their ears up. Come on. When I get up here, I ain't changing. They ain't going to stay. That man's a lunatic. They'd be like Stephen. They'd be stopping their ears and biting their tongue and running up on me. Oh, it's crazy, isn't it? Said he's the Lord of the Sabbath. Remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. Remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. I was eating at a restaurant today, and Sister Sarah was sitting across from me. She thought I was, you know, sometime I'll just get in a glare, you know. And if you're talking to me, you better make sure I'm listening to you, because I'll block you right out. I'm one track.
You just be talking away, and I'm somewhere way off at the other. And I'm preaching a message somewhere. I'm doing something. But she thought I was in one of those trances, you know. But I was just looking at all the people coming in and out of a church across the street. I said, my. No guy that started church there, and he didn't have his ears pierced. Now he does. He didn't have a tattoo. Now he does. He wasn't smoking. Now he is. That thing doing him a lot of good, ain't it? Listen, they was coming in and out there just dressed any kind of old way. Amen. And I know a young man that knows him, and he is going out with his girlfriend one night, and boy, he was all dude. I had slacks on and a nice shirt, and boy, he's all slicked up. And was, fella asked him, says, "Where you going?" "I'm going out on a date with my girlfriend." "Oh yeah, that's all right. Pretty sharp, man." Next time he's going out, he's going to church. Come in there with flip-flops and shorts on with a t-shirt. He said, "Where are you going?" "Oh, I'm going to church." That's one of them, come as you are and leave as you were. I like what he said on Way of the Master on there. They talked about this church. Did y'all see that one? And he said that it's a church. It was I forgot the name of it. It was some fictitious name up there on the sign, and it says, "Come here and you'll feel comfortable. You'll feel no conviction. You know, if you'll come here, you just, you know." They was talking about. I mean, it was a little thing they was putting on, a little skit, right? Amen. It's all part of it. Way of the Master. Y'all catch any of those Way of the Masters? Do you? That was pretty good. I like that. He's Lord of the Sabbath. Every day we should be Christians. Not just Sunday. Every day. Every day we're in the army of God. It's about His will every day. You say, "Well, Brother David, you can't bring us into legalism. That's into the Old Testament. That's the Old Testament." Oh yeah, listen. Matthew 22:37, Jesus said unto him, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is likened unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two hang all the law and the prophets." Amen. If I love God, I'm going to keep His will. I'm not going to cuss him. If I love my neighbor, I'm not going to kill him, steal his wife, covet his goods. Come on. Upon these two hang all the law and the prophets. Upon Jesus Christ hangs all these things. Amen. And a lot of people say, well, Brother David, you still with that legalism, you try to bring people back under the law. Well, yeah. Jesus said, "You have heard that thou shalt not kill. But I say unto you, whosoever is angry at a brother without a cause has committed murder already." Man, that's tougher than the old law. And he says, "You have heard that thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say unto you that if you look upon a man or woman with lust in your heart, you have committed adultery already." Friend, listen, the New Testament is more strict than the old. Huh? It said at one time God winked at sin. Come on, he ain't winking at it no more. He ain't playing with it no more. He said it's a straight and narrow way. The Old Testament is a wide way. It's all over the map. But the New Testament is a straight and narrow way. And these churches that comes along and says, "Wait, we're free in Christ. You can live like you want to. You better back up just a little bit. And you better learn about how He's dressing the church in holiness and righteousness." Amen. We're a chosen generation. It's according to His will. That's why we're saved. A lot of people say, "Well, He just saved me from going to hell." No! He saved you because He wanted to.
chose you because he wanted to. Amen. Luke, or Matthew rather, in the 11th chapter, verse 28, listen to what he says. He says, come unto me all ye that labor and are heavy laden. Come unto me all ye that labor. It means all ye that are you feel fatigued or you're wearied. All ye that are heavy laden, you have spiritual anxiety. You're all loaded up. You're all burdened down. He said, come unto me and I will give you what? Rest. But now to enter in that rest, our will is going to have to die. Amen. You see, that's the problem when we get all labored and heavy laden. It's because we've been going after our will. Amen. But when we come to him, he wants to give us rest. Verse 29, it says, take my yoke upon you and what? Learn of me. In other words, when we get yoked up to Christ, we must walk the way he walks. Amen. When you get yoked up to it, you got to walk in the direction he walks. Come on. If you want to come unto him, you got to take his yoke upon you, and you're going to have to get yoked up to him. Amen. And we must walk the way he walks. Amen. A yoke is also, listen, I love this one right here. It's also called a balancing beam. And sometimes, come on, sometimes when you look down and you only see one set of footprints. You know that little song? You look down and you only see one. You say, where'd you go, Lord? He said, I'm carrying you now. I got it balanced. I'm balancing it up. I'm carrying you because you're yoked up with me. You're learning of me. He said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Learn of me. Amen. Yoke means to servitude. That's what yoke means. Servitude or slave. It's one's will lost and another's will. Amen. He's that balancing beam that balances us. Amen. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. Amen. I'm telling you, the world needs the Lord. I would love to go to the New York Stock Exchange in the morning and be able to stand up there and pray before that stock market opened. Amen. I would love to say that the wicked shall be turned into hell and all nations that forget God. Lord, I want to apologize to you for America. We are trusted in uncertain riches. But God, we need you in America. We need you in our government. We need you in our finance. We need you, God, in our hearts, in our homes, in our schools, in our children, in our moms and dads, in our churches. We need you. And I'd love to leave from there and go down to the Congress and go in there and say basically the same thing, only God, I want to call Congress to repentance. I want to call all our lawmakers that we'd get back to really trusting in God. Hallelujah. Oh, I love that. Y'all pray. Y'all pray. I would love to. Oh, God. Help us, Lord, in America. For my yoke is easy. That word easy means useful. My yoke is useful. You see, we fill our lives every day with unuseful things. It fills our time. Unuseful things that fills our time. Robbing us. Unuseful. Amen? Stealing our time that we have so precious. Time is precious, isn't it? She read about time. Ecclesiastes tonight. Rest means a refreshing. God wants us to be refreshed. For my yoke is easy. You hear so many church people say, "Oh, Brother David, living a Christian life is so hard." Yeah, straddling the fence, it is. That's what the majority of the churches do, and they're straddling the fence. Sunday, it's hallelujah, praise the Lord. And Monday, where's God? Don't need him. Over in Georgia with that barbed wire, man. I never like to go over the top one. I like somebody to hold that top one up and let me scoot it, push it down and slide this way. Because, boy, if you get up there and it's kind of high and you get to teetering on that barbed wire, whoo, 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 whoo. Amen. They say it's hard, Brother David. Well, the Bible said in Proverbs 13 and 15, he said the ways of a transgressor is hard. Jesus says, my yoke is easy. When you get yoked up to me, it's easy. You entered into a rest, a refreshing. It means a reclining position. Got it made. Amen. And my burden is light. Learn of me. Learn my ways. Learn what to think. Learn what to do. John 16:33, closing, he says, in the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. You know what he's talking about? Just stay in me. Just stay in me. What did he tell Paul over there in the book of Acts? That ship that was on, man, all hope that to be saved was gone. Days out there in the dark. No sun nor moon for days, total darkness, and all hope that they'd be saved was taken away. And the men started to get out of the ship. And Paul said, except they abide in the ship, he cannot be saved. It's not how you start the race. Hallelujah. Mama, I'm going to make it. Hallelujah. I want mama to look up one day and look and say, Lord, you ought to come my baby. Amen. Amen. You know I got to make it to heaven. Come on, mama sitting right over here. What'd she say, Brother Jerry? He never was a bad boy. Boy, if mama's the gatekeeper, it's kind of like the, I'll tell you this, I'll close. Kind of like the woman that died and you went to heaven and got to the gate, and you know there's Peter at the gate. Peter's always at the gate, ain't he? And he says, you made it, but you got one little test to get in. So what's that? You got to spell love. She said, L-O-V-E. He said, come on and welcome to heaven, you know? And he says, look here, I've got to run somewhere. So what about just watch the gate here till I get back? You know, just to kind of do the same thing I was doing there, you know. So he left, you know, and a little while her ex-husband comes up to the gate. She looks at him, I'm shocked that you're here. And says, there's one little test you got to do before you can get in. He said, what's that? She said, you got to spell Czechoslovakia. Oh, see, that ain't love, is it? Glory to God. Why did God save you? Because he wanted to. His good pleasure. His will. I used to think, save me and keep him going to hell. No. I mean, that's all part of the plan, but he saved me because he saw me and he wanted me. Huh? Kind of like adoption. My dad said one time, he said, No, y'all don't hold me. I said it right there. I was going to tell that joke and close, but hold on. Let me tell you another one. It'd be all right. Amen. My dad said, you go ahead and stop it, brother. Let me tell you.